liturgy is the ritual celebration of doctrine. Okay? It's the ritual celebration of doctrine. So, you know, when you come to Mass, you can think of it in these terms. When people say, I don't get anything out of Mass. Alright, now, there's no excuse for bad and unprepared homilies. I agree. Okay? And generally speaking, I like to say that in this parish, we prepare. We're ready for Mass. Every day. Doesn't matter if it's Sunday or not, every day. My daily Mass goers, I think, would agree. We're ready. We're not, you know, just, I mean, we're not just winging it. Okay, I mean, we have something worked out. Okay. Nevertheless, and regardless of how bad the homily is, how vapid the musical lyrics might be, okay, wherever you might be, if you receive Holy Communion and you told me you get nothing out of Mass, maybe I'm not so sure you believe in the Eucharist. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that that's an excuse for bad music and bad homilies, okay? Because you can say, well, who cares what I say? You know, you're still going to get the Eucharist no matter what I say. No, I mean, you should do everything well. Everything should be done excellently. This is God's work. And by the way, I should also mention here, you know, the Mass is not man's prayer to God at its heart. The Mass is Jesus' prayer to the Father. That's why we're not in a position to add, subtract, change things as we see fit. It's not our prayer. It's Jesus' prayer to the Father. You got an amen in the corner there?
Amen.
Right? It's not for the priest to decide. Okay, the priest is a servant of the liturgy. This is Jesus' prayer to the Father. All right. So again, I think hopefully that rounds out that whole notion of what the liturgy is and why we do certain things as we do them. I think in the same reason that you would see in parallel examples, you know, in the same military, I use as an example, or Mother's Day, you know, we take time and we do certain things as, you know, they're almost rituals. I mean, I think like Thanksgiving is an excellent one, right? I mean, if you don't have turkey and the stuff, you know, it's almost like I feel like you didn't have Thanksgiving, you know. Just as a side note, being Asian and Hispanic, more Asian than Hispanic, my family came to this country in the 80s, so I was raised as American, but my parents were not. So this whole Thanksgiving thing is uniquely American. So, for about 15 years, I never had turkey. We had Peking duck. My mom says, I don't like turkey. It's gross. And so she ordered Peking duck. Okay. But Peking, you know, okay. You know, we didn't ignore Thanksgiving. We enjoyed the holiday too, and I played football with the other kids. Okay, all right. These are good questions. We have a question about both species. Okay, so remember, either reality contains the fullness of both. If you receive either, you receive both the body and the blood. You know, and sometimes you get people who say, "Well, I received just a little piece. Did I get like the toe or the finger?" It's a sacramental presence. Okay? Again, and by the way, the Mass is not, it's a ritual representation of Calvary and the Last Supper and the Resurrection, but it's not a reenactment. Okay, I should make that distinction as well. It's not a reenactment. You know, if it really were a reenactment, I'd have to have a Judas at every Mass. Could you imagine being on that list? Today, the Judas role will be played by whatever you must do. Do it quickly. It's the bloody sacrifice of Christ in a bloodless manner. And by the way, be thankful that when the priest consecrates the Eucharist, it still looks like bread and wine. Because if you were to receive what it truly was, and by the way, just to answer another criticism that we're often accused of, cannibalism. Cannibals eat dead flesh. Catholics consume the living flesh of Christ. And he says in John 6, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. Now think about that. But there's only one place that happens. Catholic Church. And the Orthodox too, to be fair. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. The only place it happens is here, in this county. Now, am I saying that non-Catholic Christians are bad people? No. I'm just saying, they cannot receive the Eucharist. And according to Jesus, they have no life within them. Now, that's for God to sort out what that means. But from an ordinary human perspective, that's heavy. That's heavy. Okay, so do I look at the statement Protestants? No, it's fine. I mean, they only know what they know. Okay, but I try to bring them to the faith, Catholic faith, and try to show it to them, try to invite them to it, but if they're not willing, it's okay, you know. Okay, I mean, no. We'll keep working, keep trying, keep praying, you know. So, but that's heavy statements. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's what Jesus, Jesus' own words. I'm not making that up. I mean, that's just what he says. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. I mean, he speaks in very uncertain, no uncertain terms. That's it. Okay. So we have to kind of understand this is the gravity of what we're doing. All right. I'm going to stop because I know you have babysitters and other obligations. And I'll take a 2-minute break. There's plenty of bread left. And any other questions you might want to ask on the side. And then everyone who wants